Okay, good evening, everyone. Parshas Toldos, Tavshin Pei. I would like to share with you the thoughts of the Malbim on this week's Parsha, on the section of Yitzchak considering giving the blessings to Esav, and at the end, giving it to Yaakov. And this is an approach that, over the years, we've mentioned a number of times, but I'd like to go through it thoroughly. I like to go through in the Malbim itself how he approaches this entire episode. Now, of course, this begins in the Parsha itself, Perek Chav Zayin, which is the bottom of page 132, Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Right now, we're not going to have to actually go through the Psukim. But let's begin with the Malbim's explanation of what's happening here. So the Malbim explains, "Hinei tachlis b'riyas ha'olam mikedei sheyimatzei ish tzadik v'toiv asher tulua eilav ha'ashkacha lekis v'yame'ein l'shmayan l'shchinas Hashem baretz." The purpose of the world is for righteous people. The world was created for righteous people upon whom the Shekhinah would rest. And actually, the hashkacha, the providence of Hashem upon that person, would be the kind of providence that is beyond the normal and natural way of how things are run. That is the purpose of the world. You know, looking at it in the way that Hashem created the world, lehitiv, to benefit. So the person, or the most appropriate recipient of Hashem's goodness, is that tzaddik, is that righteous person, that very righteous person, that is deserving of Hashem's good on its highest level. Now, as the Malbim continues, such a person is not that commonly found. And my understanding is that, in essence, you know, the world was created in a way that everybody was not going to be that high-level tzaddik. That's just not the way it is. When Hashem was going to create man and create, and people created, there are going to be some of them that would reach that kind of level of righteousness, but not everybody's going to be that way. But again, if being that such people are few in number, you know, such a person can't exist in the world on his own. You know, imagine the world was only just a few tzaddikim, a few people that were, you know, completely dedicated and devoted to serving Hashem. You know, how would they be able to themselves survive in this world? They need people to help them, to provide for them, to keep them company. And therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam created other people in this world so that these other people would be there to serve and enable that most righteous person for whom the world is who is the goal of creation, to be able to survive and to thrive within this world. And he says, the setup is similar to a tree, right? What's the goal of a tree? What's the purpose of the tree? The fruit. But there are many other parts of the tree. You have the branches, and you have the leaves, and you have the bark, and you have the roots. All these things are there to serve for the ultimate purpose, which is the tree. That's the main purpose. Now, v'kasheratza Hashem shia uma shalema shiyidbak b'ho'inin oliki, when the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted now to have an entire nation upon whom this unique connection of God would be to, and amongst them you'd have different levels or types of very righteous people, or you'd have righteous people who attained all these different levels. In a way that they now fulfill the purpose of creation. You can't have them all just being involved in godly endeavors. Who's going to be able to take care of them properly? Who's going to take care of their needs? That is why Hashem separated the tribe of Levi, that they would now be separate and dedicated totally to the service of Hashem. How would they survive? The Jewish people would supply them with the maaser, with the tithes that they give them of their fruits. He doesn't have any kind of portion of land, of field, and vineyard. Kashamu nachalasei. Hashem is his inheritance. Vu akar v'lalekim. And he is the closest one to God. K'meshekasev, as is written, k'yivda lokei Yisrael eschem me'adas Yisrael lakriv eschem me'lov. Hashem, the God of Israel, has separated you from the assembly of Israel to bring you close to him. And through this, the rest of the Jewish people also have a part in the reward of this person's righteous acts and his service to God. Because he is their agent when it comes to dedication to Hashem or total dedication to Hashem. And they replace him to work the field in order to give him his needs. And through this, all both of them would be enriched and be fortunate when it comes to this world and to the next world. Okay, so basically, we have a situation where, conceptually, the world is created for the ultimate righteous person who is totally dedicated to the service of Hashem. There came a point that this was not going to be only individual people, but rather a nation like that, a nation that has that kind of unique connection to Hashem. Now, you can't have an entire nation like that because someone's got to take care of them. And therefore, within that nation itself, there became the setup that there was going to be a tribe, which ended up being the tribe of Levi at the end, that they are dedicated to the service of Hashem. They are the ones who fulfill the purpose of creation. And everybody else, again, serves as part of that purpose because they take care of the one totally dedicated to Hashem. So the one totally dedicated to Hashem, as the Malbim says, is their agent, is their representative when it comes to serving Hashem, in that total dedication to serving Hashem, while they are that tribe's agent of taking care of what needs to be taken care of in a physical sense, in a material sense. And by this, they are now both fortunate and enriched for Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. The tzaddik has his Olam Hazeh needs taken care of. Those who are involved in the material needs have a portion in the reward and the merit of the righteous person in this world and in the next world. And that's the system. That's how the system is meant to be. The world's purpose is for these righteous people. They are the ones that the world are created for. And those who are not necessarily meant to be as they are, their purpose is now to enable them to be totally dedicated to the service of Hashem. And together, everyone now merits this world and next world in its best form. Okay. Now, he then continues that Hashem berachas Abraham, Hashem blessed Abraham, shemizara yetze hasagula ha'am, that it's from his children would come out this treasured nation, asher baruch nachal eloi, that he has chosen as an inheritance for him, she Hashem lehem leilokim, Hashem should be for them as a God, and he had that unique relationship with them, the yishkan shchinasa b'seicham, his divine presence would rest in their midst. Vehem yirshu es ha'aretz hakadosha, and they would inherit the holy land. Hamuchenes l'dibra kalaykim, which is most worthy and most well equipped to cling to Hashem. Ula. I can't make it that word. V'yukadoshim l'adakeyem, and they would be holy to their God. Okay, so Abraham received a blessing from Hashem that it is from his children that would come out this unique nation that would have this very unique connection relationship with Hashem. That's a bracha that Hashem gave Abraham. Abraham on his own did not give over this blessing to Yitzchak. A man can't just give this over to his children. You want to get to merit this blessing and to merit this blessing, you got to be worthy of this blessing. So it all depends on their actions. V'rak acharei mois Avraham, after Avraham's death, berach Hashem es Yitzchak baruch hazu. Then Yitzchak got this bracha from Hashem. V'chein Yitzchak lo yaya b'day te levarach espana b'berachas Avraham. Yitzchak's intention when he was going to give a blessing now, to whomever he meant or to whomever it ended up with, This was not the bracha that Yitzchak had in mind. Kiyada shalazeh lo yisayol berchasei, because his blessing can't help for that. Rak hamucha lo yisbarach bezeh me'Hashem. The only one who can get it, this blessing, get it only from Hashem if he's worthy. V'chein tira, and he says, proof being, ki abracha shemerach Yitzchak ates Yaakov ve'esav, the blessings that we read, that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov and Esav, ha'imetala shemayim rav dagam esirish. What was the blessing? The dew from heaven, and an abundance of grain, and wine, and grapes. V'yitzchak davra lo mirisha sa'aretz, no mention of the land, of inheriting Eretz Yisrael, and not that Hashem will be for them as God with that unique relationship. That was not something that Yitzchak could get over to his children. Okay, so what's happening now? Basically, the Rambam just told us what's not happening. What's not happening now is Yitzchak's blessing is not about the giving over the special, unique position of the chosen people of Hashem. That's not what Yitzchak is giving over now. Because it says, you examine the blessings that Yaakov got, which he wanted to give to Esav, was all material. Not even mentioning inheriting Eretz Yisrael. Talks about the land. You'll have the fat of the land, you'll have the good of the land, but not talking about Eretz Yisrael or any special relationship with Hashem. Okay, so what's happening now? Says the Malbim. Okay, let's look inside. Page 132. Esav was 40 years old. He took a woman, her name was Yehudis, the daughter of Be'eri the Chiti, Vesbasmas Bas Elon Achiti. And he took another wife, Basmas, the daughter of Elon the Chiti. And they caused much heartache, or as the art scroll translates it, and they were a source of spiritual rebellion to Isaac and Rebekah. They basically, did their idol worship stuff in front of Yitzchak and Rivka, and it caused them much heartache. Right after that comes Vayehi, Kizak and Yitzchak, what it was, and Yitzchak became elderly, but the Chenel of the race, his eyes were dimmed from seeing, Vayikra es Esav b'nai Agadol, and he calls Esav his son, etc. Okay, and he tells Esav, I want you to go bring me food, so that I will be satisfied, I'll be happy, and I'll give you the blessing. So says the Malbim, the juxtaposition of these two things is that something Yitzchak now realized something after seeing the two wives that Esav married. So the Rambam says, Yitzchak, it was at this point that Yitzchak recognized ki Esav einoi roi lebirchas Avram. Now Yitzchak realized from this, I can't tell you, I went through the Pirush of the Malbim until this point in the Parsha, okay? And it's very possible to say that Yitzchak, had his questions about Esav, and he had his hopes for Esav, but at this point, if he had any hopes, his hopes were dashed. And that Esav would not be the heir of the legacy of Abraham from the point of who the chosen people would come from. And he realized now, without any question, that Yaakov alone would be the one, based on the fact that he took the firstborn from Esav and chose for his portion the service of Hashem, they meet Tzadzid Kasa, who Hakadosh Aleikav, and just from his own personal righteousness, Fuasher Yirash Esberchas Avraham Chozari Yum of Dalam Avaydas Hashem, and therefore he realized that he would be the heir of the blessing of Avraham, and that his children would be the ones that would be separate and designated and set aside for serving Hashem. Okay, now V'achar Sharav V'Haven Esayis. But now that he realized this, he realized what's going to be happening. So now he became concerned for both his children. He was concerned about Esav. Okay, Esav gave up the firstborn right. He sold his firstborn right. But according to the Malbim, it sounds like Yitzchak knew about this. Gave up his firstborn right. He's not worthy of the blessing of Abraham. So what's going to happen to him? He's just going to end up being a guy. Just going to end up being like everybody else. V'ma'ad Yaakov. Okay. And you still reading music concerned about Yaakov. Acha shekol zera Yaakov yamufresh l'avedas Hashem. If, again, it seems at this point, you know, the goal would have been for the entire Jewish, for the entire children of Yaakov to be totally dedicated to the service of Hashem. Yavshah shi yisask v'avedas Adam v'en marziyim. At the end of the day, somebody's got to grow the land. Somebody's got to work the land. Somebody's got to make the food. Somebody's got to protect the country. And therefore, these are the things that it's inevitable they take away from a person's ability to serve Hashem. Okay? Who's going to protect them? You know, how is that going to protect himself? Therefore, meaning again, under normal circumstances, you know, you have to set up things in a normal, natural way. That's what I believe the Malbim means to say. All right, so now he needs a plan for his sons. How he's going to deal with Yaakov's state of weakness, and how is he going to deal with a spiritual state? Mm-hmm. So the plan was, Esav and Yaakov would be one nation. Ki Yisrael v'shevet Levi, like we have now, you have the Jewish people as a whole and the tribe of Levi. And he wanted Esav to be blessed with much material wealth and with strength. For strength to fight wars, the strength to be able to govern. And Jacob's children be totally dedicated and devoted to serving Hashem. And Esav will be the ones that will supply for them their material needs, their protection. Okay, that's the Alkain. Therefore, he wanted to prepare Esav. He wanted to equip Esav through a bracha of much material wealth. He should be a ruler over nations. It means control of land of lands. And then, when it comes to a point that Hashem now wants to give the Torah to His chosen people, the entire children, all the children of Yaakov can now be totally dedicated to their service Hashem. And Esav would supply them with their material needs and protect them, like, as he says, like the tree. Yaakov's the fruit, Esav is the branches and the leaves and the bark and the roots. Therefore, the Torah, after the Torah states that Esav took these Canaanite women, Yitzchak Yada Merishoi, and Yitzchak realized now his state of being. Shiroi Leberchas Avraham, that he's not going to be worthy of the blessing of Avraham. Okay? And as he says at the end, when Yitzchak sends off Yaakov, right after the whole story, Yitzchak has to send Yaakov away, right? And he tells him right away, he blesses Yaakov, that Yaakov should merit the blessings of Avraham. But the prerequisite that is to that, he tells Yaakov, don't take any Canaanite women. Those two things go together. Okay? And therefore, so that's where we're at. That's the introduction. That's the setup here. That's the background to the beginning of where we read how Yitzchak calls over Esav and gives him these directions to get a blessing. This is the background. The background is that Yaakov wants Yitzchak, Esav, and Yaakov both to be able to have a future together. A future that will enable Yaakov to be totally dedicated to the service of Hashem, and a future in which Esav has a portion in that. And where Esav now becomes one nation with Yaakov, he's the one that's involved in the material needs, Yaakov's involved in the spiritual needs, and it's very similar to what we have that we're a little bit more familiar with. We're definitely familiar with the setup of the Jewish people and the tribe of Levi, but we also have it in a different form, or in another form, called Yisachar Zvulun. Yisachar learned, Zvulun supplied him. Zvulun took care of his needs, right? The tribe of Levi is where Hashem designated a whole tribe and obligated the Jewish people to support them. Then you have those who, as the Rambam says, are going to be similar to the tribe of Levi, dedicating themselves totally to the service of Hashem. And one of the ways they're taken care of is when a Zvulun comes along, when another fellow Jew comes along and says, I'll take care of you. And shares now in the merits of the one who spends all his time dedicated to Hashem. But this is what Yitzchak wanted from Esav.
This now, is after the wives, right? Before he wanted them to be more equal.
Excuse me?
This is his plan
after the wives. Before the wives...
He wanted them both to participate equally. So.
Probably, yes. He wanted both to participate equally. Or mm-hmm. He hoped they could both participate equally. Now... So the first step is that Esav marries these women, and therefore, you know, Yitzchak sees that Esav is not going to be worthy, and you know, he wants to put this whole thing into order. When does he actually start doing it? When does he put it in? When does he actually start now putting this plan together? It happens when Yitzchak becomes older. As the pasuk says, Yitzchak became older, his eyes dimmed. The point being that this is Vidag. Now, at this point of time, that Yitzchak became older, Vidag Yikarav Yemoisa, he became concerned that his death was approaching. Couldn't bless Yaakov because the blessing of Yaakov is something Yaakov has to deserve. But now it was ready time to give Esav his blessing and equip Esav with the blessing and the potential to be that supporter of Yaakov. Okay, so that's the background here. That's the background. Okay. Now, let's look back into the Chumash. All right, Yitzchak gives Esav the directions, what he needs to do, and Esav sets off. Now take a look on page 134, Pasuk Hey. V'Rivka Shoyma'as, and Rivka heard, B'daber Yitzchak of Esav B'nai, When Rivka heard when Yitzchak spoke to Esav his son, Vayleach Esav asodeh, and Esav went to the field at Tzitzayid Lahavi to hunt game to bring. So Rivka heard Yitzchak speaking to Esav. Esav left. The Rivka Amra Yaakov ben Alemar, and then Rivka spoke to Yaakov and told Yaakov what he needs to do. Okay, so now the Malbim. Well, let's go through how the Malbim explains Rivka. Okay, let's understand where was Rivka coming from? What was she thinking? And what was she doing? So Rivka Shemas, that those words and Rivka heard, says the Malbim, in a Rivka Hevina Kol Kavanas Yitzchak. When it says that she heard, doesn't just mean she overheard. It means she heard. She completely understood what Yitzchak was trying to do when he spoke to Esav. How he wanted to make this relationship, this connection between Esav and Yaakov, the same connections that we have between the tribe of Levi and the rest of the Jewish people, and Yisachar and Zevulun. Yaakov will be involved in Torah, and Esav will support him. She already knew a long time about Esav, and that Esav was, to put it getting to the tree analogy, he was rotten to the core. Ella shaloi levat shuia klipa shemeres lepri. Forget about that. He won't just be the shell to protect the pri. Ki ke'esh yachal karekav yival lesakal. He's going to ruin it. If Esav is going to be in control of everything, he's going to ruin the situation. And the riches that now his father gives him, it's going to be both for his downfall and Yaakov's downfall.
So this is repeating the argument between Avraham and Sarah.
Well, I don't know about that. Could be, but I don't know about that. And therefore, as we see when she tells Yaakov that he has to get the blessings, that she says that even now the material needs have to be within Yaakov's control. Because it can work out that both material success and spiritual success can come together. And a person, as the saying goes, can merit two tables. Yes, you can be worthy of the blessings of both if you will use the material blessing solely for the purpose of enhancing the soul. Listen to that, this one. Just this interesting idea. When Mashiach comes, Shevet Levi will get a portion of the land. At that point, the world will be full of the knowledge of God. Wish I could get this. Tashbisenu. And therefore, at that point, having a part of the land, being involved in a material pursuit, will not in any way disturb service of Hashem. Okay. Now, so that's an interesting idea. I don't know where he gets this from. But that's what he says.
What do they get?
They're going to get a portion of land. No, it's going to be divided. No, instead of Ephraim, according to what he's saying, you from Menashe? You from Ephraim? Where are you from? So maybe the pshat, it could be that the answer is either that maybe the tribe of Yosef's portion is going to get smaller than it was before. I don't know. Maybe all the, somehow or another, the Arei Miklat, all the cities that they have, instead it will be something more to them. I'm not sure what it means exactly. But this is what he says. He says they're going to have a portion of the land. Clearly, even the cities that they have is not considered their nachla. It's not considered their portion, right? Somehow or another, when Mashiach comes, they're going to have a portion. But the way he's explaining it is that at the end of the day, even if a person dedicates his material pursuit for the purposes of the nefesh, purposes of spirituality, purposes of serving Hashem, at the end of the day, it takes away to some degree. To some degree, it's going to take away. That's what has to be. That's what has to be. But that's the reality. And therefore, at a certain point of time, when Mashiach comes, it won't be a contradiction whatsoever. The clarity of serving Hashem will be so great that there won't be any contradiction between the two. But until that point of time, within Yaakov himself, he's going to have to find it within him to basically be able to have both. And to be able to have material wealth with the power to fight war, with the power to govern and to be in control of lands, but to dedicate that all in the service of Hashem. Okay? Now, okay, just want to get it. V'chashva Rivka, sheb'inyan zeh yatzlicha banim yaser. Rivka felt that the success would come to the children better this way. Now, what was her plan for Esav? We're not finished yet. Shegam berchas eilam hazeh tiyel Yaakov. Yaakov should also have the blessings of eilam hazeh. And the setup is going to be, as he has mentioned before, there's going to be some people dedicated to the service of Hashem, and other people will take care of their needs. Okay. Shagam berchas eilam hazeh tiyel Yaakov. And Yaakov will also have the blessings of eilam hazeh. He'll be in control of his eilam hazeh, of his material needs. The Esav yavad Esav avaydas eved. And Esav will be his servant. And that Yaakov, through his strength of service to Hashem, will be in control of Esav, as he says, when the Jewish people were successful, and they conquered Edom under their power, in the days of Hordas, they actually put them into slavery, and we know a non-Jewish slave goes through circumcision, he goes through circumcision, he goes through tefillah and a mikvah. He's pseudo-Jewish. He has a certain level of Jewishness to him. Okay, and he says, "Bimei Hordas." Historically, I'm not sure what this is referring to, but there was a point apparently that this was done. So that was the plan, right? You know what's best for Esav? For Esav, Esav is, Yaakov is in control. He's the controller. He's the master. He's in ownership. The owner here is Yaakov. Yaakov owns his spirituality and his materialism. He owns it. Esav will have a portion of being the one who, again, serves Yaakov. And Rivka says, this is the best setup. Okay? Therefore, the pasuk says, Ki Rivka shomas medabra Yitzchak. Rivka heard. You just hear it. She understood the ramifications of it. She felt differently about how the setup should be. And then it says, Vayelach Esav Latzu Tzai Lahavi, and Esav went to hunt game to bring. Now, I believe that, I didn't look this inside, because the Malm usually lists out all his questions that he has before he says his explanation, but there's two questions here. One question is, what does it mean, Esav went Latzu Tzai Lahavi, to hunt game to bring? It's a lot of, it seems very wordy. Why don't you do all these words? To hunt game to bring. Also, it should have said that after it said, after the Torah records, finishes recording the directions that Yitzchak gave to Esav, then it should say that Esav went. It doesn't say that. The Torah ends with the discussion of Yitzchak, you know, to Esav. He tells Esav in Pasuk Zion, bring me game, make me tasty food, I'll bless you before I die. Before I die. And then it says, and Rivka heard, and Esav went. Right? Mm-hmm. It should say, after he finishes telling him, I'll bless you, Esav left, and Rivka heard, and she spoke to Yaakov. Why do we have Rivka's hearing interrupting between that? So it says the Malbim very interestingly, Kilulei Rasa Shehalach Tekef, if not for the fact that Rivka saw that Esav, you know, right away went out to do the job, she would not have done this whole plan. She would have spoken to Yitzchak about it. Think about it, right? If Rivka disagreed with Yitzchak, she couldn't talk to him about it? She had to do this? She had to do this? So you know what the answer is? But what happened? He right away, he did it like, you know, okay, you know, I'm going to do this, you know, I got things to do today, I'll do it tomorrow. Right away he went to do it. He wanted this taken care of right away. Okay? And what did he do? He didn't go hunting like he usually did. He was a hunter. Right? He was a hunter. But now, right, Rashi brings out at least that he did bring back food for his father to eat. So I'm not sure if the Malbim was working with that. He seems to be trying to say here, typically he went hunting, but now he didn't just go hunting. He went hunting to bring back food, right? That means he's trying to seal the deal, okay? Therefore, she needed now to go to plan B, which is going to be now, to make this whole plan of how Yaakov disguises Esav and gets the blessings, basically, in a tricky manner.
So how does it explain why she didn't speak to her husband?
Because it was too late. Once Esav set off, right? Once Esav got this promise and he set off to do the job, he's trying to say there was no more turning back. Now, I was thinking about this, right? Apparently, either she felt once Yitzchak told us to Esav and Esav went, right, that Yitzchak either couldn't back off anymore. They may have both known who Esav was, and once Esav set off, right, and he wasn't going to get what he wanted, he certainly wasn't going to let it be the other way.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to let it be the other way,
yeah.
Right? He didn't leave yet, right, which means he wasn't so set on it, she could have convinced Yitzchak to change his mind. But once he already went out to do what he had to do, and his plan now was to get the blessing right now, if they would change their mind and we'd come back, at least one thing would happen. Yaakov wasn't going to get it. That's how he's trying to learn here how everything flows in together. So Rivka was forced into doing this thing because once Esav left to do the job and to get the blessing, there was no more turning back.
To be fight if he comes back into the field.
Right. Yeah. Now you could argue that, and if he wouldn't have left yet, but he was already told this, he wouldn't have put up a fight.
Oh, Yitzchak can tell him I changed my mind.
He can't say I changed my mind when he came back with the food. Can't say I changed my mind then. You can hear there's a difference. I'm just saying there's a difference, but
like,
good. I understand the point. The Rambam was trying to say, based on how the words of the Pesukim are going, that at this point in time there was no turning around. Earlier, Yitzchak could have said to him, "I changed my mind." And but now already the days have already, like, you know, gung ho, full throttle, trying to seal the deal. Nothing could have worked out otherwise.
So here we have two at the time says wisest people in the world.
That's right.
And each had a plan.
Right.
And both failed.
No.
Yes.
Why?
He did not become a slave to a servant.
Well, eventually it did. The main plan was for Yaakov to get it.
No, I understand that.
So that part worked.
Yes.
That part worked. The second part didn't necessarily work. But the reason it didn't work, as we'll see later, is because Yitzchak did give Esav a blessing, right? That if Yaakov is not serving Hashem properly, right, then he's free of Yaakov's dominion. So that was that much Yitzchak set things up, which is probably what it's meant to be. But that's how he told Esav. So he told Esav, you know, at the end of the day, his dominion over you is dependent on his worthiness. Okay. Now
you can say that Rivka feels that she can convince Esav, but not in 5 minutes. She knows him. Right? It's one thing, like, she'll tell him one thing today.
You mean so there won't be enough time by the time he comes back?
Like, he can just come to him. He's fixed in his mind.
Yeah, but again, if she already starts talking to him, like, you know, at least she can hold him off.
Mm. Maybe she feels
it. Well, if you want to make Yitzchak such a hardhead, okay. There's different ways you can try to say this. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, all right. At the end of the day,
the question was: didn't when she was pregnant with the two babies, there was a feeling that one was different than the other? Did she correct. Call her husband?
That's a separate discussion. Yeah. That's all discussion on its own. Now, all right. So, do we know the rest of the story? Yaakov comes, disguises himself as Esav, Yitzchak gives the bracha to Yaakov, Esav shows up, and Yitzchak realizes that, you know, that he was mistaken, because he sees that Gam Barachiyah, he says, you know, if you look in the pasuk, which is page 138, pasuk Lamed Gimel, Chapter 27, verse 33. Yitzchak became very frightened. And he said, Who is this person who brought the game, who caught the game? Brought it to me, and I ate everything before you came, and I blessed him. Yitzchak then said, yeah, he should be blessed. That blessing should remain with him. You know, he tricked me into blessing him, but now I realize, as Rashi says, he should be blessed, and therefore he said, okay, the blessing stays. Now, Shmaya Esav, Zivra Yitzchak. When Esav hears the words of Yitzchak, Vayitzchak tzalka gadoy lamarad ma'id, gave a great and bitter cry. Vayemer la'aviv, and he said to his father, Barachini gamani avi, bless me also, father. Okay. Vayemer ba'achicha b'mirima, your brother has come cunningly. And he took your blessing. Now, let's skip a little bit and turn to page 140. We'll start in the middle of that pasuk on the top. Vayomar, Esav says, Halo yatzalta li bracha. Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Vayan Yitzchak vayomer le'Esav. Yitzchak responds and says to Esav, Hein gevir asam tivlach. I have made him a lord over you. Veskalacha, and of all his brothers. I have given him as slaves. I have supported him with wine, with grain and wine. What more can I do for you? Esav says to his father, have you only one blessing? Bless me also, my father. Esav lifts his voice and he cries. Then Yitzchak's father responds and says to him, behold, from the fat of the land will be your dwelling, and from the heaven, and from the dew of the heavens above. Okay, so we have this back and forth. Can't be a bracha? No, not be a bracha. Don't you have something left for me? I don't have anything left for you. Please, can you give me something? All right, I'll give you something. What's happening here? So says the Malbim, that when Esav hears that Yitzchak now says the blessing belonged to Yaakov, so he cries and he says, Barachini gamani avi, bless me also, my father. Esav oyala b'dayte shebrachasa yorak b'avor Yaakov. Esav didn't realize this plan. Esav did not think, right, that, or in his mind, he was not thinking that his blessing is dependent on Yaakov, that there's this connection. V'imkena lo ya'av yachal avarach kalbanav ba'ishu b'mishal v'chal tuv. Why can't you give me a blessing also? You can also give me a blessing for riches. What am I going to do with Yaakov? Yaakov took your blessing. Why? You can't give me a blessing too? So he said, your brother came with cunning. He told him, it seems to me that the Malbim is saying that this is where Yitzchak revealed to Esav the real plan. And that is that Esav's blessing only was possible as long as Yaakov didn't get the blessing. Okay. The only way you can call material wealth a bracha, right, is if they're going to be used in the spirit, in the service of Hashem. To call it a blessing, if you're not going to use it in the right way, if you're not going to use it for the spiritual growth, then it's not a blessing. That means, now, if Yaakov wouldn't get the material blessing, right, because he's supposed to be totally dedicated to Hashem, and rather his blessing will be solely to be dedicated in service of Hashem and be supported by Esav. Okay? If Yaakov doesn't get the blessing of material wealth, then Esav can get it. Because that means that Esav is going to be the one who's going to be supporting him, who's going to be the peel for the fruit, is going to be the shell for the fruit. But now the Yaakov took the blessings, which means he doesn't need Esav anymore. He's going to have to be taking care of himself. Can't bless Esav anymore. It's not a blessing anymore. Can't call that a blessing. If now at the end of the day you're just going to get material wealth, but it's not going to be used for the purposes of serving Yaakov, it's not a blessing. Your brother took your blessing, right? He took your blessing. What you were supposed to have, the blessing that was supposed to be for you, that you would have material wealth to support Yaakov's spirituality, he took that. He took that bracha. And therefore, there is no bracha left for you. And he points out that the wording that Yitzchak uses is ba'achicha b'mirma, your brother came with cunning, right? So he says, he didn't say he took your blessing with cunning, it says he came with cunning. The cunning was the coming. The coming, the approach, that was with cunning. But taking it, that was no, there was no cunning in that. There was no trickery in that. But rather, the point is that, you know, he may have been cunning in how he got this, but he wasn't cunning or tricky in the fact that he took it. Because it was right for him to take it. He needed to take it. Because it could only work, he sees now it could only work when Yaakov is controlled for both. All right. But Esav doesn't stop there. Esav said, didn't you reserve something for me? What is reserve something for me? Why is he expecting something reserved? So the Malbim says, meaning, Esav says, I get it what you're trying to do, right? You wanted that I should support Yaakov. But, you know, it doesn't make sense for you just to give me everything and Yaakov nothing, right? It only makes sense to say that even if I'm the main supporter, right, Yaakov, with all his dedication to spirituality, you're going to leave him something. Something he needs to take care of himself, not be totally dependent. I mean, not to be totally dependent on me. Mm-hmm. No? So whatever you left over for Yaakov when you thought it was me, right, give me that. Didn't you leave me something? Right? So Yaakov Yitzchak's response is, as we read in Pasek, this was on page 140, Pasek Lavet Zayin, he says, Vaya Yitzchak Vayemer LaEsav. Yitzchak says to Esav, Hey Gvir Sam Tivlach, Vetzkalachav Nasatri Lavodim, I made him a lord over you. I gave everybody as a slave to him. He's got the wine. He's got the material. There's nothing left. I gave him everything. as I said, I gave him everything. There's nothing left. All right? But Esav doesn't stop there. He says, is there not one bracha for you to me, my father? Bless me also, my father. He says father twice in this pasuk. So it says the Malbim, what Esav said was like this. All right. Dad, you feel that I don't deserve any material blessing because it's all about serving Yaakov. You know what? That's not where I'm at. I also want a blessing of material wealth. That's what I want. You feel you can only bless me, you know, you can only bless me for Yaakov. You're saying, do you only have one bracha? This can only go together. There's only one bracha. Either I got it or he has it. That's true if you say that I should be his supporter. You know what? I don't want to be his supporter. I'm not interested in that. That's not where I'm about. That's not what I'm about. And therefore, bracheni gamani yavi. You know what? Just treat me like a regular kid, right? I want to have the good stuff. Give me some of the good stuff. Just treat me like a kid. Yeah, I know you had these big plans for me. It's not for me. I'm not interested in it. Give me one less bracha, my father, right? Fathers give blessings to their children. They want the children to have a comfortable life. At the end of the day. So do that for me. V'ayan Yitzchak Aviv. And Yitzchak, his father, responds. Let's just say Yitzchak, his father. The answer is, Zeh Amar Lo Mitzad Shehu Aviv Karachim Avabonim. Now he's talking to Esav, basically like a father has mercy on his child, right? The child's disappointed. He wants something. All right, you have mercy on him. And he gives him. So what does he do? He goes ahead and he gives a blessing. He gives, again, blessings of material wealth. To Esav, but at the end of the day, what does he say? Let's read it aside. Okay, VaYitzchak Aviv VaYemer Elav this pasuk lamites. Yitzchak responds and says to him, Hinei Mishmani Ha'aris Hemeshavecha. Behold, from the fat of the earth will be your dwelling. Umital Hashamayim Eol, and from the dew of the heaven below, from the fat of the earth will be your dwelling. This is your place. This is your portion. You will have material wealth. You'll live by a sword. You're going to be a mighty nation. You're going to have plenty of military and military strength. However, you will be subservient to your brother. That's the way it is. Yes, you could have all the material wealth you want, but you will be subservient to your brother. It's like saying that much you're going to have to get. That much you're going to have to obey.
Even with the army.
You're going to have to be subservient to Yaakov. That much you got to do. It's not going to be like you're going to just, you know, run wild and do whatever it is that you want. However, kasher tarid. So the Malbim explains these words. Kasher tarid means eisha atatir deboy. Okay, and it'll be a time that you will be ruling over him. That'll be a yedei shelo yabedes Hashem, because he won't be serving Hashem. Oz v'rak to olam. Then will come the point of time that you will throw off his yoke. K'may sh'amar b'sman sh'nakol kol Yaakov as hayadayim yedei Esav. That was the words that he said. The hands are the hands of Yaakov. The voice of the voice of Yaakov, and the hands are the hands of Esav. All right, and that is interpreted to mean the Medrash says Yaakov was saying that when the voice of Yaakov is there, there's no hands of Esav. If there is no kol Yaakov, there's no voice of Yaakov, then you have the hands of Esav. That's the way it was. When, as long as Jewish people served Hashem, as in the times of David, Shlomo, and the righteous kings, Edom was a tribute. What do you call it? Tribute? When you say a country that's subservient to another country. There's a word for it. Tribute
vassal,
something.
A vassal.
Right? They're a vassal of Eretz Yisrael. V'ischatu Yisrael, but when the Jewish people sinned, kasev b'yamav pasha edoim, v'mluch alei melech. No, they rebelled. And they became independent. Okay? And eventually they destroyed the second base of Mikdash. So this is the whole setup. This is, like I said, this is an approach that we have mentioned many times before, but now we've gone through it pretty thoroughly, how the Malbim goes. I mean, say everything the Malbim says, went through a lot of how the Malbim again explains the background and explains everything that was taking place. Yitzchak had his plan for Yaakov and Esav to have a partnership. Rivka says it's not going to work. Rivka couldn't speak to Yitzchak about it. There wasn't enough time. Therefore, Yaakov had to now go through this manner of tricking Yitzchak into giving him the blessing. Yitzchak realizes that Yaakov was the one who was deserving of it. Once Yaakov gets the blessing of the material blessing, Esav can't get the blessing, can't get that blessing anymore. And it won't be a blessing for Esav if he just gives him material wealth as is. But Esav eventually is able to convince his father to give him that blessing. And he does give him that blessing. But he tells him, but you're still going to be subservient to Yaakov. You will not have a control over him. The only time you will be able to throw off his yoke is when he's not serving Hashem.
Question. So, sure. What you and
Malbim
said something similar.
Me?
As soon as that happened, what happened? Yaakov realized that it is the right thing.
Yitzchak realized.
So, why? What made him realize?
So the Malbim goes through this a little bit, and I didn't go through everything that he says, but basically, Yitzchak looked at what happened. And a lot of things just like, the way the Malbim sets it up is like, things just happen in a very weird way. Things happen in a way that Yitzchak realized, this is the Hashkach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam made it happen. Mm-hmm. I always thought the answer to your question is that Yitzchak realizes the weight of what he's doing. And if at the end of the day, it comes out that he was, at the end of the day, he gave it to Yaakov, then he realizes that this is the plan. The Malbim says, one of the things is, the way the Malbim says it is that Yitzchak realizes that he gave a blessing to a person who sounded like Yaakov, but felt like Esav.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big question why he even did that. Yeah. And Yitzchak, according to the Malbim, Yitzchak realized that to end, like, you know, he realized that there's something more to that. That he sees the hand of Hashem in this. Like I say, I always thought, before I saw this Malbim, that Yitzchak just realized the weight of what he was doing. If it came out that it didn't go to Esav, it went to Yaakov, then that's what it's meant to be.
Well, he also might have, his reservation was that, well, Yaakov is really, you know, not active enough to do that part.
Right.
When he sees Yaakov
coming.
Okay,
I think somebody says that explanation.
Yeah.
Somebody says that. It's like he thought that Yaakov couldn't handle it.
Look at that.
Yeah,
that's a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different though than from the way the Malbim. I don't know if that would fit into the Malbim's approach so well. But it's interesting. Excuse me.
He had the two wives, which was a big red flag.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Talked about right before.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Just good night.